This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. We have a returning champion today. His name is Dave Smith. He's a Canadian, and we're doing a new 10 and 4 challenge. And on the line today, it's myself, Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hola.
Hola, indeed. And thank you so much for coming to the show. If you're finding us via iTunes or Stitcher or wherever, we love that. If you like the show, please leave a review. We would love that. We have a 5-star review, guys, from a Canadian. So I thought I'd read it to you today.
We love Canada!
Yay, Canada! So this is from Shelby Stokes. Hi, Shelby. Love tuning in and hearing you girls. Your interviews are excellent and informative. All kinds of exclamation points, too. Thanks for all your efforts. Nice to have something to listen to throughout the day that motivates and educates. Keep it up. It's much appreciated. Smiley face. Isn't that sweet?
Aww. I love that.
Yeah.
In exclamations, all the exclamations.
All the exclamations, yes. And the happy faces. Like, thank you so much. We love doing this. We're having so much fun doing this, and we're meeting new fans and stuff like that. So this is great. So once again, please, if you like the show, please subscribe to it so you'll never miss an episode. But if you could leave us a review, that'd be fantastic, and we'll read it on the air. You give leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it on the air, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you guys, like, if there are things that you would really like us to cover, like if you have questions for us, I know we've been toying with the idea of doing a couple episodes here and there where we just like field reader questions. So drop us a line, like hit us up on social, shoot us an email. You know, we want to hear from you. What are you liking? What are you not?
Yeah.
This show is for you. So
give it to us straight.
For real. But I mean, be nice.
Yeah.
Don't be
I'm
mean,
a little
please.
Sensitive.
Excuse me. He does happy faces and sparkle fingers.
Yeah.
So we have Dave on the show today. He was on the show this past December for the 10 and 4 challenge that we started in January. So guys, tell me all about the 10 and 4 challenge because you're changing it up a bit and I don't even know about it. You were starting to say something off the air and now I'm all intrigued. So let us know what's going on.
I know, it's so exciting. So this will be our third time this year doing the 10 and 4 challenge. Registration, if you're listening to this episode, registration is either open or will be open in like a matter of hours, depending on when you download it. But this new version that we're doing in April, we're just kind of like getting feedback from people, making a few kind of like small little like tweaks here and there, because we're getting amazing women who are coming in with amazing results, losing, you know, anywhere from 5 to more than 10 pounds a month. And more than that, just gaining self-confidence and just setting like true healthy habits where they kind of, you know, they start and they're like, here's what I want to do. And by the end, they're like, oh my God, like I've lost weight, but better yet, I just automatically eat more fruits and vegetables without thinking about it. I just found the workouts I love.
Yeah. And what I'm blown away by is this time around we've had a lot of women jump back in who did it in our previous session.
Yes.
And they're like, oh hey, by the way, I know I haven't been checking in, but I've been keep on keeping on, and I'm down another like 7 pounds, I'm down another 10 pounds, I'm developing like serious healthy habits, and I'm not even reaching for the crackers and cheese at night, which I mean, what a huge win. It's really been cool to see.
It's been amazing. And so if anyone's interested, you can go to, and we'll talk about this more in the episode with Dave, you can go to fitbottomgirls.com/coaching. That'll always either get you on the wait list to know when registration is happening, or if the registration is live, you can register from a link right there. Go right there. But the twist that we're doing for this time, because the accountability and support part of it is so huge for 10 and 4, and that's why I think a lot of the women are so successful, is because they're getting coaching from myself, Dave, and Kristen, but they're also kind of getting coaching, if you will, from people who have already been through the program and people that are in the group, and they're all encouraging each other back and forth, and it creates a really cool dynamic. But we know that we can bump that up even more by if people want to come in with like a friend, or if we have alumni from the program who want to bring in one of their friends to do the program with them so they can keep going. So we thought this time we would kind of do 10 and 4 challenge BFF edition. So we are encouraging everyone who is signing up, who's registering, to, you know, bring a buddy along and have them sign up as well. And that way they have like a specific accountability person. And if you are someone who doesn't have someone in your life that wants to do this with you, but you still want to do it, then we're also going to see if we can pair people up, you know, from like across literally the world. We have people in Canada and America, and I don't see why we can have people from other countries too. Get in the group and we can partner if you want to. You don't have to, but if you do want to have another like accountability partner, we're going to pair people up. So we're going to like take the accountability in the program and just like ramp it up to BFF level. Best fit friends.
It's going to be so cool. And you know, what I love is that there's so much accountability right there in our Facebook group. But if you've got someone who you actually know in real life, so in our, the one we did in January, one of my really good friends, and I think maybe our number one podcast fan, Jody Bennett Hunt out there. So I've known her for ages and she joined the 10 and 4 challenge. And so I was also getting some texts from her because she's like, I don't want to blow up the group, but look what I just made. Like I made egg muffins or I made this really healthy recipe. And not only did I love it, but like my kids loved it. So it was really neat to have not only her putting that good energy into the group at different times, but to just see it from like, this is one of my BFFs, and you know, seeing it from that level was really neat for me. And I think that it was nice for her to have not just the whole group, but to have someone who was like invested in her very personally. So I think that it does bump it up a little, like you were saying, Jen, to have someone who you're like, no, like I'm your person. Like I'm here. I got you.
And my mom is in the group.
What?
Yes.
And yeah, my mom's in the group and she's kind of
a rock star.
She is. She's done it in January. And so me and my dad are both her accountability partners going forward when she stopped being in the group. And yeah, like she checks in with me every couple days, every time I see her, which is often. They live really close. I was like, hey, how's it going? And she's down like 17 or 18 pounds total. Like she just keeps losing weight, like consistently, healthfully, and she doesn't feel deprived. I mean, it's just like a glowing test. She looks and feels fantastic. She has so much energy. It's really cool. It's really, really, really cool. So anyway, people should check it out. Fitbombgirls.com/coaching. Yeah, join us.
Yeah.
Good time.
So in the interview,
it really is a good time.
It is a great time. And I'm having so much fun, you know, virtually through you guys doing this. But I had to ask you a question because in this interview today we have with Dave, we talk about intermittent fasting. Can we talk a little bit just like how you guys are using that with this program or how you're using it in your life and how it works for you?
Yeah. So intermittent fasting was something that Dave had as part of the program. And honestly, Chris and I at first were just kind of like, I don't know, like we don't do diets, like we're super into following your hunger, like just the word fast to be like, I mean, there were like red flags that went off, you know? And then there is like a lot of research on intermittent fasting. I heard Dave talk about it. He had had success with people in the program with it. And we just kind of built it and designed it in this way where basically people in the program are encouraged to have, you know, still be mindful, but have a free day where you can kind of eat, you know, the foods that you want in moderation, pay attention to how you feel. And then the next day, because you probably ate a little bit more than you would normally when you're quote unquote on plan, then you can take a fast, which can be anywhere from, I mean, everyone fasts overnight. Like most people don't eat and sleep, you know, so most of us are pretty much, you know, for like 9 to 7 or something, like don't eat already. So it's just like, go ahead and just expand that by a few hours, and play around with fasting and see how you feel. And a lot of times our bodies can just feel a little bit better from a digestive break. Also, it takes a lot of time and energy to prepare food, to think about food, to, you know, when you're making healthy choices or changes in your life, all of that. So it's, in some ways, it's actually kind of, I found, a little bit of a break to be like, all right, I don't have to, like it's a meal I don't have to prepare. But you, there's nothing in the program says you have to do intermittent fasting or you have to fast. It's just another tool in your toolbox to see if it works for you or doesn't work for you. And that's kind of how all the challenge is built. Like we give you a bunch of ideas and you just kind of see what works for you. But I've personally found that I like to do more of like a 12-hour fast, maybe like once or twice a week. So, and it just works really well with my life where I just, you know, stop eating at like 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. and then don't have breakfast until, you know, that same hour of the day. The next day, that morning, and I feel really good. I don't know. I really like it. Kristen, what about you?
Yeah, I'm with you where I have not really found like doing a full 20 or 24 hours to be something that I enjoy. Like I have tried it, but it doesn't feel as good for me as I think it does for a lot of other people, because I mean, yeah. There are people who are like, oh my gosh, I feel really good. I love it. And I like can't wait to do it again next week. But I think that, you know,
you work out a lot. Yeah, I mean,
I'm pretty active, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, so is Dave, and I know he does it, but yeah, I'm with you in that I tend to feel better and function better. And that's the other thing is that I get serious brain fog when I'm not eating.
Mm-hmm. So I get really angry.
Well, that too. But yeah, like I really end up having a hard time like putting words together and thinking clearly, and I that's hard on me. So yeah, for doing it for like 12 hours is great. And the interesting thing I've found is that I actually have really liked doing it from like mid-afternoon one day into maybe you know, early breakfast the next day. So because I don't always want dinner, you know, right. As I'm getting into my hunger and fullness cues more and more, and I feel like every year, every month even, I'm getting better at it and dialing that in a little bit more to realize like what those little cues really mean for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding that like there are times when, you know, maybe I'll have lunch and then I'll have some sort of a you know, a little snack in the afternoon, and then dinner comes around, and if I'm not hungry, I'm like, okay, I don't have to eat just because the clock says it's 7 p.m. and that's usually when I eat. And I think that that's to me where the encouragement to try doing an intermittent fast. Mm-hmm. Hard to say, isn't it?
It is hard to say.
It is.
Yeah.
I think that's where it's really freeing. I mean, yeah. Where you can't, cause we are so programmed to always have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and maybe like two snacks in between, you know, right. Especially if you've been like five small meals a day, you know, it's like your body's almost like used to eating at those times, or you feel like, well, I can't just like skip dinner. That's not okay, but I'm not hungry. It's like, right. Why am I going to eat if I'm actually like truly not hungry? Yeah. So that's, it also just made me feel better. I think I might have said this in the interview. Maybe I just talked about this with Dave at one point, but it made me, a lot of times I get up and I have to feed the dog, and then my daughter wants, you know, food, or I got to take the trash out or do something, or I make myself a cup of coffee, and it may be 9 a.m. and I'm like, oh gosh, I haven't eaten anything. And I used to be like, I haven't eaten breakfast yet. Oh no. Now I'm just like, oh, well, it's fun. I just accidentally did an intermittent fast.
Yeah.
Right.
Like time to grab something on the way out the door. You know what I mean? So it is, I think it's something cool to play around with, and I will be curious to see as more and more research comes out on it and kind of some of the health benefits. I think Dave addresses that in this interview, but pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
It is cool stuff. So we were teasing him because in our last interview with him, he has a peanut butter addiction, and like he has a pretty hardcore problem. Like he buys one jar for 2 weeks, and it's like for him, it's do or die. Like that has to last him 2 weeks. If he eats it all in one day, and he says he has before, then that's that. Like he has to wait for 2 weeks. So I was wondering, yeah. Do you guys, have you ever had a food addiction, like something you just had to have, and either you had to drop it all together or you had to strategize it?
One, ice cream. I think I've talked about ice cream so many times in this, mm-hmm. on the podcast. I cannot have ice cream in the house. I can't. It will either be eaten or I have to go out for ice cream. But in college, I legitimately had an addiction to brown sugar Pop-Tarts.
Ooh.
Like, you could get them, like we got so many points during the week or something. And so I would have all these like leftover points because I'd like go out to eat at one point. And for one meal, it's like whatever points you got for one meal would buy me like 4 or 5 packages of Pop-Tarts. And there's like 2 in a package. And so I used to get them and then just eat them. And at one point I was like, I have a problem. I can't stop eating these. If they're there, I have to eat them. I keep buying them. And then I was like, nope, that's it. You're going to go cold turkey. You're never having a Pop-Tart, a brown sugar Pop-Tart again. And I have literally never had a Pop-Tart since then.
Good for you.
Now I want a Pop-Tart.
I know.
So
I know. I love cinnamon too. Cinnamon and bread.
Oh my God. Cause so hard for me to break up with it. They're like, yeah. I never want to have one again because it might as well be cocaine for me. I'm not even kidding.
I'm with
like,
you.
It is like,
I'm with you.
Drug. I mean, it made me insane. I'm like, no one should be thinking about Pop-Tarts this much. Like, yeah. At a shake, you know? Like, oh my God. God. So, yeah, don't ever bring a Pop-Tart my way. But the funny thing is like, really, like, what is the combination I like out of that? Like, I like the flakiness. I like sugar, obviously. And I like, cinnamon with sugar. But there's like a number of, you know, things. You can have oatmeal that has cinnamon and sugar in it. So I found other ways to kind of fulfill that true flavor. But I do think there's something addictive in those.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There absolutely is. What about you, Kristen?
Oh, that's a tough one. Pop, sort of, for me. Like, I don't think that it's really an addiction to it, but, like, I don't have Coca-Cola in the house, just because I do enjoy it, and I think for a while I probably was a wee bit addicted to the soda, and I used to drink Diet Pop all the time, and, oh, God, like, so much of it. So I just sort of don't keep it in the house. Every once in a while, if I'm really craving it, if I'm at the grocery store, I'll buy, like, you know, a single bottle or a can or something, especially if I'm road tripping. That's sort of my, like, a treat. But yeah, when I don't have it around, I don't miss it at all. Like, I don't think about it. I don't think like, oh, I really wish that was in my house. But the other thing that I think is more interesting is, after the first round we did with 10 and 4, I didn't have any cheese in the house during that whole thing. And that was a big move for me because I really like cheese. Mm-hmm. And cheese and crackers is one of my favorite snacks. And it's something like there's like an emotional aspect to it because my husband and I like to sometimes sit down with that and a glass of wine. And, you know, that's like a nice little winding down thing. But until like last week, I realized, I was like, I have not had cheese other than like, I haven't had like chunk cheese that you would slice and put on crackers or anything in the house since the beginning of the year.
Wow.
And yeah. And I didn't really miss it once it wasn't there for a while. So I don't know. I didn't really think that I had like an addiction to it and I didn't think it was an issue, but I'm like, I think maybe it's good for me to not have it in here because
yeah.
Then it makes it a lot easier. It's a much easier choice to reach for an apple or reach for some carrots mm-hmm. and celery or, you know, whatever. If my other option isn't like a super delicious aged cheddar. So,
yeah.
Which I actually have in the fridge right at this moment, and now I'm thinking about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's fine. But, I mean, it's also been in my fridge for a week, and it's not like I'm, you know, diving in there trying to slice a bunch up. So that was, I don't know, I guess maybe getting it out of the house for a while and realizing that I totally can survive without it all the time is probably a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a cheesehead too. I love cheese. My jam was brie cheese with Triscuits. Like just that. Oh, yeah.
Brie's really good.
Oh,
yeah.
It's amazing. And, but then I went paleo and you can't have any grains and you can't have any dairy. And I'm like, how am I going to live without it? And you just get used to it. And you know, eventually I don't crave it anymore. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, but I just keep it out of the apartment. For me, I think I told you guys before, but after the election, I had a problem with potato chips. Like I just needed to crunch potato chips, like Hers potato chips, sour cream. And I would go to my bodega and I'm like, normally I don't eat that stuff, but I was so stressed out. And then finally I just told myself, Margo, every time you buy a bag of this, you have to give $5 to a politician you hate. I'm hardcore.
Wow.
I am hardcore.
That is motivational.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that when I quit smoking too.
I was at first, I thought you were going to be like, I'm going to give $5 to like a cause, like a worthy cause.
And No.
Like, oh, that's a really nice way to indulge.
Like,
you flip that with it. I didn't see that coming. That's kind of amazing. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's super motivational. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the same thing when I quit smoking. I'm like, if I ever pick it up again, I have to, I think it was like $100, I think to the KKK or something like that. Like I told myself I would be punished and it's only $5 and what's the big deal? But knowing I gave $5 to somebody I hate. And don't agree with, that's motivation for me. And I look at that Hers bag, like every day I walk by the bodega and it's like, nope.
It is not worth it.
Wow.
Not worth it. So that's something you could put in your tool belt, you guys out there, maybe if you really
Seriously.
Need to shock yourself out of something. So anyway, so on that note.
This is a great pre-show.
Wow, yeah.
It's all over the place. So so why don't we just go into our interview today with Canadian Dave Smith. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Dave Smith is a personal trainer and certified life coach who has been working in the health industry for over 15 years. He was chosen as Canada's top fitness professional in 2013 for helping thousands of clients from around the world successfully lose weight and keep it off. He writes for a variety of magazines, websites, and newspapers, including The Huffington Post, Muscle and Fitness, Life Hacker, and, of course, Fit Bottom Girls. He also teaches at many health and wellness conferences across Canada and the U.S., and he hosts a weekly health podcast called Make Your Body Work. Dave is here again today. He's a returning champion, by the way, to discuss the newest 10 and 4 challenge, the deal on fasting and free days, and much more. So welcome back to the show, Dave.
Hey, girls. Thanks so much for having me back. I appreciate the second invite on the show. That means we did something well the first time.
You're the first person we've asked back, so you should feel really special.
Wow. I do. Thank you.
So this is Margot, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hello.
And we have Kristen.
Hi.
So, Dave, I'm going to ask you the first question, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so, Dave, so one of the components of the new 10 and 4 challenge is intermittent fasting. So can you tell us a bit more about what intermittent fasting is?
Yeah, sure. I know it sounds scary. When you hear that word fasting, a lot of people think, oh, geez, we're going to have to go for days without food. And intermittent fasting is just taking a break from eating, and it could be as short as, you know, like we do intermittent fasting every single night, actually, when we sleep. We're not eating for 8 or 10 hours or whatever it is that you're sleeping. So an intermittent fast could be 12 hours. Some people do it for a full day. It's just taking a break from food.
So can you talk a little bit about, I know you and I have had conversations about intermittent fasting, but like what's kind of some of the science behind it? And then what has been your experience with clients trying it? I mean, is this something that like anyone can do, everyone can do? Just share your tips, please.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that historically we're very much used to, our bodies are used to going without food. You know, if you think about, you know, our ancestors, they wouldn't have the ability to open up a refrigerator and just pull something out of the fridge every time they think they feel a little bit hungry. And so it's very normal to go periods of time without eating. But in our luxurious lives today, we can do that. We can go to the refrigerator and eat something and basically train our bodies to have this constant supply of calories coming in at all times. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but particularly for people who are trying to lose a little bit of weight, it can be problematic training our bodies to always have that influx of calories. And so, you know, from a scientific perspective, basically taking some time off, letting our body balance out its blood sugar levels, letting our hormones adjust to not having that supply or that influx of calories is a really, really positive thing and can start to signal certain hormones in our body that stimulate our thyroid and pump up our metabolism and do all these great things that do allow our bodies to burn some of that fat that previously it wasn't able to do.
Okay, so you talked about how, you know, everybody sort of does this to some extent when they sleep. And, you know, for those of us who maybe every once in a while forget to eat breakfast because you could just get started in the morning like that and just extending it naturally. Like I would bet that most people on here have, without even about it, done a pretty decent fast, just because sometimes that's how your day goes. But outside of that, what are some of your tips for how people can give intermittent fasting a try? And, you know, are there things that maybe people really should do, or are there things that people really shouldn't do? Like how, I don't know, maybe tips for like tuning into your body so that you're doing this in a way that's really good for you. Because I think one of the things we've talked about is that it's definitely a different experience for different people.
Oh, 100%. And it's a great question, you know, because I do think that most people, myself included, have sort of a negative idea of what it means to fast. And I don't know if you girls, you obviously have world vision in the United States. Do you have an event called the 30-hour famine?
No.
Okay, this is something that they still do it in Canada, and particularly in high schools. And so I remember bringing this to my high school, you know, 20 years ago, and basically all the kids go to high school and they sleep there overnight and no one eats anything. And then it's a fundraiser for World Vision. And I remember as a student doing this, and we all cheated so bad. Like everyone would have snacks there and we're really eating all night just because we had this sort of ingrained in our head that it's impossible to go for 30 hours without food, which is so ridiculous. And I think that sort of mindset has carried forward, you know, for me as an adult. And so, you know, Kristen, your question about, you know, people doing it differently, I do think that not everyone is maybe cut out to fast for 30 hours on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But there are tons of applications. Like one, you said getting in tune with your body. One thing that we can do to start to see, well, are we cut out to fast at all, is just to start to think about the reason why we choose to eat. And I think even aside from fasting, this is just a really important exercise to do, is start to think, well, when you go to eat lunch, are you experiencing any sort of hunger at all? And maybe, you know, for the listeners, just try that today. When you go to eat lunch, when you, you know, prepare your lunch or pull out your lunch, are you actually hungry? And I know for me, and I know when I started using intermittent fasting with my clients, you know, maybe 10 years ago, the answer in the vast majority of cases is no, there isn't hunger present when we actually eat. It's because of, you know, a social cue that everyone else is eating, or it's a scheduling cue. Well, it's noon and therefore I get my lunch break and therefore I'm eating. Or, you know, it's an emotional cue. Okay, I have a few minutes right now, I'm bored, I'll just, you know, grab this snack and start eating it. So taking that inventory of why you're eating, I'd say, is the first step to figuring out, is intermittent fasting going to fit into your life?
So do you do any intermittent fasting?
I was waiting for you to ask me that. Do I practice what I preach?
Okay, good.
I do. I prefer a full day fast. You know, some people will do a partial day fast, or, you know, a fast from a meal. I like to take a 24-hour fast. I don't do it all the time, but I'll go through periods, particularly for me, when I notice that my digestive system, I feel like, is kind of getting just weighed down. You know, I feel a little bit off. I'll do a 24-hour fast once a week and do that for a month, and then see how I feel. And so for me, again, I love food. I am a huge eater. And so for me to take 24 hours off, it has to be a conscious effort. But I'll tell you, girls, after I did maybe my first 4 or 5 of these day-long fasts, I really like it. Honestly, it's something I enjoy. And I know that doesn't sound possible, but it's a relaxing day. I don't do any strenuous exercise that day. I, you know, don't have to prepare meals. I'll usually read a lot more. I'll have a nap that day. It's just a great day.
Like, okay, a super chill day. I didn't have to do anything. So, I mean, are you experiencing, because we talk so much about, like, I love your mindfulness components, and we're talking about, like, reasons why we eat and all that sort of stuff. So, what level, I guess, of uncomfortable hunger or just mild hunger do you recommend that people kind of go through during a fast? Like, what's appropriate, do you think?
Yeah, like, here's a really important message, and I think that an intermittent fast needs to fit with your lifestyle. So sometimes, you know, in the 10 and 4 challenge, for example, we do have the option of doing intermittent fasting, and some people work a job that requires them to be on their feet. So I'll use an example of being a nurse. And if a nurse is about to go in for a 12-hour shift, do I think that maybe she should be doing her first intermittent fast that day? No, I don't think so. There's a chance that, you know, she's going to get really hungry and lightheaded and make bad decisions when she should be making critically positive medical decisions. So,
right.
But like, in terms of if you're just around your house, so say it's a Saturday, you're around your house, I think it's very okay to feel hunger pain and to feel like, yeah, I really want to eat something today. And I would say if this is your first intermittent fast and you start to feel that, there's a high likelihood that that hunger pain is actually a false alarm. And it's, again, just sort of your mind saying, this is when I would normally eat at this point. And I'll speak for myself. The first time that I actually practiced this intermittent fasting, I went through that and was determined to make it for my 24 hours and didn't eat, and that goes away. That hunger pain goes away pretty darn quickly. So I just say, don't be alarmed if you feel a little bit different than maybe you normally would.
Well, I think from personal experience, and obviously in the 10-4 challenge, we don't make people fast if they don't want to. We're like, hey, try it out, see how it goes, you know, like everything you've been saying. But for like me, it's interesting to know we were talking about the hunger and fullness scale. So from like a scale of 1 to 10, we're like, 1, you're gonna like you wanna eat your arm off, you're so hungry. But it is interesting, once you do a fast, you begin to understand where those far, you know, where the reaches of hunger really are. And your hunger and fullness scale can kind of be a little bit off until you've actually really gone all the way, you know, to actually not eating for 24 hours or 18 hours. It feels different. I found that to be really helpful.
Totally agree. And I actually get comments from women who have gone through the program, and they'll say that all the time, that not only does the fasting sort of recalibrate their hunger and fullness, but then that carries out through the rest of the week. I remember I got a couple weeks ago one email particularly from a woman, and she said that the size of her meal portions has significantly changed because it was her first time that she remembers ever experiencing hunger. And after experiencing some true hunger on a 24-hour fast, that's what she decided to practice. Then when she goes and eats, a regular size meal and feels, satisfied, moderately full, she felt good with that. Whereas previously when she'd never experienced hunger, it was like, okay, I'm going to eat because it's dinner time, and then I'm going to eat until I'm stuffed and don't want to eat anymore. And you can imagine practicing that sort of eating day after day after day. Well, of course that's going to lead to weight gain. And so it's just, like you said, recalibrating our whole hunger and fullness, that entire scale.
Yeah. So I think that was all a really good point, because I'm sure that we have some people listening who are like, wait, aren't you guys the ones who are always talking about everything in moderation? And, we're talking about the fast days here. And then one of the other tenets of the 10 and 4 challenge is people have a free day during the week. So I would love to hear what your explanation behind kind of the idea of incorporating both the free and the fast days in this, in a way that, like, how does that work together with the idea of practicing healthy moderation? Because it, like, I get it having done it, but I think to some of our listeners right now, like, it might sound like that's a little bit more extreme than the FBGs usually go. So I'm just wondering kind of what your explanation regarding the free days with that would be.
I actually want to really encourage the listeners, because I think the idea of having a free day or several free meals throughout the week is a much better example of moderation than what most people do when they want to lose weight. Because when most people want to lose weight, and again, I get emails from women all the time that say this, they'll quite often have a number, a calorie number, and say, I need to eat no more than 1,200 calories per day. And if I do that for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to lose a bunch of weight. And I'd say that's actually the opposite of moderation. That's saying there is this hard and fast line, and if I cross that calorie line, I failed and my diet's gone down the tubes and there's no way I'm ever going to see any results. And so instead, in the 10 and 4 challenge, we do exactly what you just said. It's the whole idea of moderation, and it's based on eating well 90% of the time or 80% of the time, but then giving yourself that sort of okay, giving yourself that permission to still enjoy some of those foods that might not be part of your regular diet, but are still foods that in reality you're going to eat them at some point in your life. And then just saying that it's okay to do that. So
yeah. The whole free if you're going to do it, right?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, and that's really important, the whole guilt-free thing, because so I'll tell you, last night I was out with friends and we went to this pizza parlor where they had board games, and so we were eating pizza and playing board games. And every time I go to a place where there's junk food, someone will point at me and be like, Dave, I thought you don't eat anything like this. And honestly, I feel like I get judged all the time because people know what I do for a living, and I use it. Well, I try not to go into preach mode, but I use it as an opportunity to say, like, listen, I'm a person just like you, and it's okay to eat like this occasionally.
Yep.
So how do fasting and free days go hand in hand?
Again, there's many different ways to do this, but the way that we like to do it in the 10 and 4 challenge is to pair those two together. And from a physiological perspective, it makes sense. So if, for example, you had your free day on a Saturday and went out with some friends and had a big dinner and, maybe had some of those treats that you didn't have the rest of the week, you just took in a calorie influx. And so your body has a lot more energy to do something with than it normally would. And when you have that huge calorie influx, there's really only two options for your body. Either it converts that blood sugar into something called glycogen, so it's energy for your muscles, or it converts it into stored energy, which is fat. And you can imagine that if you had this big calorie influx on Saturday and then on Sunday did the same thing, had another free day, well, you're just building up this huge influx of calories. And so instead of doing that, what we like to do is say, okay, have your free day, enjoy the foods that you want to enjoy guilt-free, and then on the following day, Sunday, try doing a fast, and that fast, like we talked about, it could be just an overnight fast and maybe extend it for one meal, maybe skip that breakfast. And on a very basic level, that's just allowing your body to balance out those calories that you took in on Saturday by taking a little bit of time off eating on Sunday.
I also want to point out that we, like, back to that kind of like guilt thing with the free day is that we didn't, you know, we really, some people call that a cheat day, but like, we don't like the verbiage of like cheat because cheat implies that you're doing something wrong. And it's like you occasionally join, you know, having really enjoying foods that you like. I mean, that's part of a healthy lifestyle. So long live the free day. Long live the free day. But Dave, I'd love to know, you know, when it comes to fasting and free days, this is obviously a concept that people could try on their own, but why is doing it in a program like 10 and 4, why is that so beneficial?
Again, that's a great question. So I just really want to point out that having a free day or a free meal or whatever it is completely fine as long as it's a mindful decision. And, you know, sometimes I'll work with clients and they will say, okay, I'm going to have, you know, a couple of free meals throughout this week. And it's a very vague statement. And I'm not saying that that can't work, but in the vast majority of time, someone who says, oh, I'm just going to have a couple free meals. Well, when we're not tracking it or you're not planning for it, it's very easy for a couple, meaning say two, to turn into three or four, and then some snacks come in there. And all of a sudden your entire diet or your entire eating style or eating plan has shifted back to what you're used to. And if we're not making some sort of change, then it's impossible for our body to change. So doing it in a community like 10 and 4, if you do it with some coworkers or some friends and saying, you know, looking at your schedule and saying, I know I'm going out for dinner on Thursday night, so that's going to be a free meal. Or I know I'm, you know, going to whatever event, like going to amusement park on Saturday, so I'm going to take that day as a free day. And actually planning it out, it's really important because it helps you prioritize and say, when do I really want to eat like that? And then doing it with the community gives some sort of accountability because you come back to them and say, hey, I enjoyed these foods on Saturday, and now I'm going to go back to the healthy eating or that mindful eating that we've been practicing.
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about mindful eating, let's talk about peanut butter, because
are you kidding me? We're going back to peanut butter.
Going back to peanut butter.
You'll never live it down. But so in our last podcast conversation, and honestly, let's be honest, several times since then via email and Facebook and all of that, we've talked about your slight peanut butter addiction, and which I honestly just love because it does show, like, Dave Smith is human, and this is normal to have things that you love so much that it's really difficult to practice moderation with them. And you, I think that you had said that you only allow yourself to buy a jar like once every couple of weeks, because otherwise if you have a lot of it in the house, it's really easy for you to just keep eating it and keep eating it. So my question is twofold. Number one, are there any other foods that you find you really need to keep in check or you could go overboard? And part two, aside from just not keeping that stuff in the house, do you have suggestions for how someone who maybe experiences this with ice cream or cheese or whatever, are there any ways for them to kind of practice that mindfulness and keep those things in the house and accessible for when they do want a small treat, but learn to enjoy them better in moderation, or maybe even if it's just on their free day?
Good questions. So do I have other sort of cravings aside from peanut butter? Oh my gosh, yes. You know, you girls, we've been talking about DNA testing, and just recently I got my DNA test results back. And one of the things that it shows is the different macronutrients, so protein, carbohydrates, and fat, and what our propensity to desire to crave those macronutrients is. And mine showed that I'll just generally have more cravings for fatty foods. And It is so true. So the peanut butter, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. You know, it's a high fat food. Basically anything that's fatty, like I don't eat a lot of meat, but oh man, even thinking about it, like a big juicy, greasy burger, it just, oh, that's so delicious. Our pizza is another one. So yeah, anything that's got fat in it. And then in terms of, aside from just keeping it out of the house, well, what else can you do? I think that planning is just so important. And so if you think about times in your week when you're going to be tired or stressed out or most likely to have those cravings, and those are the two that people really experience a lot. Like some women that I work with, wine is their treat that they really like. And why is it wine? Well, in most cases, it's because it indicates that they're able to sit down and enjoy some downtime and relieve some stress. And so I think that if you're going to have it in your house, think about, well, why is it that I normally crave, or when do I normally crave these things? And then just plug that into your schedule. And I actually learned something great from you girls. Jen, you did your whole 5-minute chocolate square eating challenge thing.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example. Is so you can say, if I know that I come home on Friday night and I'm so stressed out after a long week and I really just want to drink some wine to unwind, okay, that's great. Have, you know, a glass left in your bottle, your wine bottle, or two glasses, or whatever it is that you've determined is right for you, and just set that as sort of your, not really goal, but your plan. I'm going to have those two. And maybe tell someone, tell your husband, tell your friend, tell whoever it is that you're going to be drinking the wine with, if that's the plan, and stick to that, as opposed to coming home. You just imagine coming home Friday and you're already beat down. You're already tired out. Mm-hmm. Opening a brand new bottle of wine and sitting down on the couch, that's going to be trouble.
By trouble, you mean heaven, right?
Yeah, same thing.
Mixed messages.
I know. I was like, that sounds amazing. What are you talking about?
And I'm like, with a piece of chocolate, right?
We're having exactly.
A piece of chocolate.
So maybe that's one of those things where, you know, with wine or with chocolate or whatever, like finding things that are in more like single serving sizes is a really smart way to go. Because yeah, you're right. Like there is something about opening a new bottle of wine, or, you know, about opening like a brand new pint of ice cream and just looking at it and being like, yes, this is all here for me. And it is a little bit of I was going to say something not so nice. It does mess with your mind a little bit to know like, okay, it's all there and available, but I'm only going to have this little tiny bit. So that's a really good tip. I like it.
You know, you just jogged my memory too, as I was writing an article recently about cravings, and you probably heard the research before that if you use smaller plates or smaller bowls, you eat less, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And so that research has been confirmed over and over again. So, you know, talking about snacking, say it was whatever, say you wanted to eat some M&Ms or something like that, grab a small bowl, put your M&Ms in, have it planned out, you know, and eat it at the appropriate time when it's going to be most satisfying to your cravings. Do all those things. Another trick, and I didn't know this one, was that the color of your bowl or the color of your plate dramatically increases how much or how little you're going to eat. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be really complicated. Like I need to have blue bowls for this and, you know, red bowls for this. But the whole science behind it, the research shows that having a plate or a bowl that is in contrast to the color of the food that you're eating will make you eat less. And it kind of makes sense. The study, it showed some examples actually. And imagine if you have a blue plate, and on that blue plate, you're eating mashed potatoes. Those mashed potatoes really stand out, and so it triggers the brain to think, I'm really getting a great snack here. Say mashed potatoes was your thing that you craved. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you had a white plate with mashed potatoes, it sort of blends in, and the brain doesn't get that visual cue. And so it might take it does take, according to research, longer to satisfy that food craving.
Interesting.
That is interesting. So do you have anything else to add about, you know, this whole program and what we're going to be doing with the new 10 and 4 challenge coming up?
Yeah, like I think the biggest thing to kind of get over is that it doesn't have to be scary. And I like the fact that we're talking about free and fast days, because that's probably the scariest component. But it really, just like you girls were saying, it's different for everyone. And that's why our program isn't set saying you need to do these 10 things and check those 10 things off every day. Instead, it's here's a framework. These are the principles. These are the tools that we know that they work. How can we apply those to your life? And whether you're doing it with us in the 10 and 4 challenge or doing it on your own, just know that you are unique and you don't need to do it like everyone else is doing. What will work for you?
I love that.
I do too.
Do you want to share your last song you listened to before you did this interview, Dave? I mean,
you know that's coming since you've been on the show before, but.
I didn't know that was coming. I actually.
Did you plan accordingly?
I didn't. Oh man, you girls are awful.
I know.
We're the best.
We're the best. So,
I'll tell you what the last song I watched was, oh man, this is now getting embarrassing, but I was watching a show that was talking about Super Bowl performances. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so it was talking about like the most classic Super Bowl performances. I was just watching this morning, and So I watched Michael Jackson was like the first really big Super Bowl halftime show. And after him, it turned into this huge deal. And so I watched his and he performed Billie Jean and it was awesome. And then I started like clicking through, had links to all the other ones. And I, the last one I watched was Justin Timberlake
and Britney Spears.
Janet Jackson, the whole boob reveal.
Oh, no. Yeah. You can't remember the song.
What is the song?
Geez, it was like a compilation of a bunch of their songs. So it wasn't like one specific song, but to the audience, I'm a good high quality guy. I normally don't watch smutty shows like that.
Like the Super Bowl.
Funny thing. Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, that's when the term wardrobe malfunction was coined, right? Like that is historic. So actually I think that's just culturally, that's a cultural touchstone right there.
And I don't know what you girls think. Like, to be honest, I don't remember watching it that closely before, but that is not a wardrobe malfunction. Like, it is so blatant. He reaches over and grabs it.
Oh, yeah.
And rips it off.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, isn't it like design? I mean, it's like there's a design there. Yeah.
You don't just wear those over your bits. Like,
no, men don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take your word for that. That's not common.
Want to come on the show again and talk about most embarrassing things?
Well, Dave, thank you so much for being on the show again. You're always a great guest, and I know we're going to have you back on soon because we just need to know your music choices, basically. Like,
next time I come on, I'm going to listen to like a super appropriate list of like adult contemporary music before we start recording.
And then we're all going to call BS. We're going to be like, nope.
Oh yeah, well thanks for having me and thanks for bringing up this topic because I especially liked how you mentioned the whole idea of cheat day. And I think Krista, maybe you're the one that said that cheat implies that we're doing something wrong. And so just know, girls that are listening, having a free day doesn't mean that you've failed or doesn't mean that you've gone off the rails and can't come back. Doesn't mean it's going to undo the work that you've been doing. And doing a fast doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be a long time. It's something, it's just another tool in your tool belt that you can use.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Okay.
All right.
Are we done? Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.